Welcome to another Salvation by Grace Sunday morning message. Salvation by Grace is the teaching ministry of Grace Christian Assembly, a Sovereign Grace Fellowship in Smyrna, Tennessee. You can find us on the internet at salvationbygrace.org. So grab your Bible and join the congregation of GCA along with our teaching pastor, Jim McLarty.
This morning's scripture reading is Psalm chapter 103. If you'll stand for the reading of the word. Psalm chapter 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always stride with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, and those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, O you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father, we come again this Sunday morning to worship you, thankful that you are the God that we just read about, a God that has not dealt with us in a way that we are deserving, but you deal with us through compassion, and the way that you most greatly express that compassion to us was through the blood of Jesus Christ. How thankful we are to know that you have dealt with our sins and they are removed as far as the east is from the west. And so we glorify you for this. We give thanks to your name. We pray that we can indeed bless you from the depth of our soul and that all creation would reflect that blessing upward to you, Lord. We pray that not only here as we worship you this Sunday, but your saints gathered around this country and across the globe, Lord, that your name would be exalted upon high, that you would receive that praise for which you are due. We ask that your hand would be upon the service this morning. Give us the ears to hear and give Pastor Jim the words to speak. And we pray that all of it redounds to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, some very cruel person, some person who claims to love their pastor, brought big chocolate chip cookies this morning that are out on the front table, and you don't have to hide, Jewel, because Luann already threw you under the bus. Because I said to her in the hallway, some cruel person brought these big cookies. I said, was it you? She went, no, it was Jewel. Don't hurt me. And so, yeah. For the last several weeks, we have been talking about the church. Last week, I introduced the idea that our obligations go far beyond just our obligations to one another, but that our obligations ultimately are toward God. And I narrowed those obligations down to three primary biblical obligations that the church has toward God. And the one we looked at last week was worship, that God expects and in fact demands worship from his people. You may recall that I said worship requires humility. There's no way to be egocentric and worship. Worship is about getting down in front of God, putting your face in the dust. It is not a practice of haughtiness. It is a practice of humility. And that was as far as we got because we began the morning last week by just talking about the name of God and understanding that Yahweh has revealed himself by that name, and then so much of the church world has decided to refer to him by his titles as God, as Lord, but not by name. So that's how far we got last week. Now, last week I told you it'll probably take like 2 weeks to get through this portion, and then I said maybe 4 weeks, and it may be 6 or 8 weeks. And so, no, I'm going to try to get through everything I've got this morning. I don't mean to scare you, but I have like 7 pages of notes. That's all I'm saying. After worship, I said we also have the obligation to praise God, and then we have the privilege and obligation to pray to God. Those were the three that I really wanted to emphasize as we closed up this series on the church, who the church is, what God expects from his church. Let's talk about praise for a little bit. Does it really do anything for you, Jeff? No. If I say to you, yeah, that's right, I called you by name. If I say to you, I praise you, Jeff. Praise you. I praise you. Praise, Jeff. Praise. I praise Jeff. Does that mean anything? No. No, not really. What if I say you're a good song leader and we really appreciate the effort you put in up here? What if I say you're a good dad and I have seen you all these years raising your kids and you're really good at it? What if I say you're a snappy dresser and a really good dancer?
Okay, that went too far.
Okay, that went too far. Okay. See, when I do that, I'm actually praising him. I'm actually saying good things about him. One of the things that David writes a lot in the Psalms is that he says we need to bless the Lord. And that is actually to speak well of the Lord, to eulogize the Lord, to say good things about the Lord. And that's very similar to what praise is. Yes, there is plenty of instruction in the Bible telling us to praise the Lord. And yes, we say hallelujah. Yes, we say praise the Lord. But if you're actually going to praise the Lord the same way as if you're actually going to praise somebody, you're going to talk about him, talk about his benefits, talk about what he has done for you, talk about his faithfulness, talk about his sovereignty, talk about what God has done and how you appreciate him, how you thank him. That's what it is to bless his name. That's what it is to thank him. But the verses that we're going to look at primarily are instructions to praise the Lord and different ways that we can praise the Lord. For instance, in Psalm 66:4, we're told, all the world will worship you. All the earth will worship Yahweh and will sing praises to you. That's one of the primary ways that we as a church can praise God. It makes me very, very happy that GCA has always been a singing church, because we understand what we're doing when we sing. How many times have you heard me say here, there's really only one audience in the church? We collectively worship Him. We are not singing for your amusement. We're not singing for your entertainment. We've had people through the years come in and criticize some of the songs we do or the way we do it. And I always answer the same way. I always say, yeah, but it's not for you. We're singing praises to God. Should I do it? Yeah, it's a little early in the sermon, but sure, let's do it. I get very frustrated when I go into churches and they have some kind of rock band at the front of the room with lights and showbiz. It's kind of hard to tell whether you're in a church or whether you're in Las Vegas sometimes. And then they put on the show, and then the congregation becomes the audience. That's not a church. In a church, we collectively sing to God. He's the audience. He is the focal point. All the earth will worship Yahweh and sing praises to you, and they will sing praises to your name. I appreciate that, like the handout you got from Steve of the song we just sang, there was a verse in that song in your hymnal that theologically, Christologically, might not be quite so sound. Steve fixed that. Because we want to sing about God to God, but we also want to sing things that are accurate about God. That's why we don't sing any songs that go, me, I was worth it. Well done, you, for saving me. We don't do those. We don't do songs about up, up, up with people. People are so great. We don't do that. We sing about the good and the glory of God. We don't praise God because it benefits us. We don't do it because it makes us feel good. We praise God when we understand His sovereign power and His fierce judgment. When you understand the God of the Bible and who it is that you're actually dealing with, the all-omnipotent master of time, space, and reality, you then are more likely to get on your face, worship Him, and sing praises to Him, and speak good words about Him, because you know who He is. And the best way to know who He is to pay attention to His word and His revelation of Himself. And He has revealed Himself, as we saw last week. He has revealed Himself by all these Yahweh revelatory names. And He has revealed Himself as being El Shaddai, that He is the all-powerful one. If at this very moment, now I don't care what your politics are, and I don't care what you think of Joe Biden. I said that rather dismissively, didn't I? So now you kind of know what I think. But I guarantee you, if a limo pulled up out front with a whole bunch of other black SUVs and Joe Biden got out and came through the door, we would all kind of instantly respect the office. We'd have an immediate recognition of, oh, okay, that's actually the president of the country. We need to give him due respect. And yet, God, the maker of heaven and earth, that God, the God who decided all things before He did anything, the God who wrote names down in the Lamb's Book of Life since before the foundation of the world, the God who made everything with His words, and the God who is going to make it all burn and start over with a new heavens and a new earth, that God is with you all the time. Seems like we would be reverent about that. Seems like we would be conscious of it. And then when we talk to people, when we do our work, when we go through our lives, we would have that continual awareness that the God of heaven and earth is with us. And that should make us different people. The Greek word praise, we're going to talk about it a couple times, is aienos. Properly, it means a story. But then it's used in the sense of laudation of commendable things. And so the Bible talks about this idea of praise, and it includes the idea of telling the story of God. When you tell the gospel of Christ, when you speak about God biblically, what God has done, the history of God, when you do that, that is a form of praise. You are telling the story, you are praising God. And then it is also, as I said, laudation. There's a word you don't hear a lot. It is lauding. It is saying good things about God and to God. So praise, by definition, is to acknowledge from yourself, to come into full agreement when it comes to God, that whatever he says about himself is actually valid and true. In essence, then, you say about him the things he says about himself. It's speaking about him and agreeing with him based on all the powerful and wonderful things that make up his story. That's what it is to praise God. Okay, quick test. Can you think of anything in the last, let's say, week that God did good for you? Mm-hmm. That'd be everybody here. You're still breathing his air. You're still walking on his planet, and he's given you food, and you're wearing his clothes. He's done a lot of good stuff for you. Some people went to Michigan and came back. Some people came from Atlanta. Safely. You also, up to Illinois, right? Indiana, yeah, and you made it safely back. God has been nothing but incredibly good to you. He deserves your praise, which means he deserves for you to tell the good story of who he is. And as I said, we also sing our praises. The Psalms are full of instructions concerning how it is that we praise God. There are just way too many to list in a morning, but I'm just going to give you a sampling of some of the things David said, the instruction David gave about the importance of praising God, of speaking well of him. In fact, before we begin reading from the Psalms, Nehemiah himself, looking back on what David and Solomon had done, recognizes that David himself, in constructing the worship of God, and that Solomon continued it in the temple, that there were particular people whose job was continually praising God. It was that important to God that in his temple there is constant praise to God. So Nehemiah writes, Nehemiah 12:46, "For in the days of David and Asaph," who is one of the other psalm writers, "in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving." Notice that they were hymns of praise and they were hymns of thanksgiving, which means that they're not for the entertainment or the amusement of the people who were doing it or the people who were listening to it. It is all praise toward God. And yet David made sure, Solomon made sure, that in the temple there was continual, worshipful, musical praise to God. Psalm 7:17 says, "I will give thanks to the Lord." Once again, see how thankfulness is combined with this idea of praising. "I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." The Lord Most High, we looked at it last week, Yahweh Elyon. And notice that we will give praise to the name. What's that name? After everything you heard last week, what's that name? Yahweh. It's Yahweh. And we are going to give praise and thanks to that God who is Yahweh Elyon, the Most High God. Psalm 9, 1 and 2 says, I will give thanks to Yahweh with all my heart. That's important to remember because praise is not something you do haphazardly. It's not something you do accidentally. It's something you do purposefully. It's something you do with commitment. That you praise God, you give thanks to God with all your heart. And I will recount all your wondrous deeds. Notice what David just did. Remember my definition of what praise is. Praise is telling the story of God. Well, David says, I'm going to recount all your wonderful deeds as part of the praising. Not only is there going to be thanksgiving, not only is there going to be singing, not only is there going to be commitment, but then there is going to be the good talk, the blessing of the name of the Lord. By recounting all his wonderful deeds. And that, to David, is not a burden, because the next thing he says is, and I will be glad and exult in you. David did not exult in himself. David did not exult in anything on this earth outside of how it is connected to the God that he worships. I will be glad and I will exult in you, and I will sing praise to your name, Yahweh Elyon, the God Most High. David loves that phraseology, the God who is most high. Even in our society, we use that kind of language. I got friends in low places. Okay, well, that would be the opposite of I got friends in high places. That means I got some powerful friends. I got some rich places. So we use that low and high language comparatively to talk about things of value and things that don't have value. And the name that God himself has is, I'm the God most valuable. I am the God most high. Psalm 21:13. Did my voice just crack? Psalm 21:13. Be exalted, O Yahweh, in your strength. Remember that I said the key to praising God properly is understanding who he is, what his characteristic and nature is, and that he represents himself as being El Shaddai, the all-powerful one. So again, the reason that David is praising God is because of his strength and because of his power. Because of his omnipotence and his absolute sovereignty, as Micah read just a few minutes ago. I will be glad, I will exult in you, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High God. You will be exalted, lifted up, O Yahweh, in your strength. We will sing and we will praise your power. We will sing about your strength and your ability to do whatever you want to do. I guarantee the more you know about the absolute sovereignty of God, the more you understand the God of the Bible, the God who is in charge of all things, the God who has loved you with an everlasting love, the God who is under no obligation to you and yet chose you to be a gift of grace to his son. The more that you know about him, the more you're going to want to talk about how great he is. The more you're going to praise him because of his power, because of his strength. Psalm 22:22 says, I will tell of your name to my brethren. Yeah, I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about how good you are. I'm going to praise you publicly. I'm going to praise you among my brethren, and I will tell about your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. And the Hebrew word at that moment is halal. If that sounds familiar, it's where we get hallelujah. We just sang it. It means praise the Lord. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. That's why we gather as a group to praise him, to sing to him, to talk about him, to talk about his wonderful deeds, to talk about how good he has been to us, and to bring our thanksgiving to him. That's what it is. Those are all acts of praise. You who fear Yahweh, that should be everybody in the room, right? You understand that he's not talking about slavish fear. He's talking about reverence. Those of you who know what God is truly, genuinely like, you know his power and you know his judgment and you know his control of this world. You who fear the Lord, that would be all of you, the next command is praise him. So if you fear him, if you reverence him, you are also commanded then, again the word halal, then praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe. That's the Hebrew word ger. It means dread. It means to stand, if I can create the language this way, it means to stand infinitely impressed, to stand in awe before him. When you reach the point where you're standing before God Almighty, the way Isaiah did, the way Isaiah said, woe is me. If you stand in front of God Almighty and you see his tremendous glory, you are going to be completely and utterly in awe of him. And it is that recognition of who he is. It is that awe of him that is your inspiration to praise him, to glorify him, to lift him up. I need to move quicker. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praises to Yahweh, you his godly ones. So that's what it is to be a saint, to be a godly one. If you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God, then you are the people who are to praise God. That's why he chose you, drew you, gave you his spirit, was for his glory. Remember, God is in the enterprise of glorifying himself. And he is going to be glorified in his creation. And so he made sure that you would have the spirit of God so that you would be drawn to worship and praise him. He gets all the glory. That's the way he designed it. So sing to Yahweh, all his saints, all his godly ones, and give thanks. There's that thankfulness part again. And give thanks specifically to his holy name. And what is that holy name? Yahweh. It's appropriate that we as saints of God, it's appropriate that we praise the Almighty God. Psalm 34, 1, I will bless his name at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So not only is it a vocal thing, not only is it a telling of God, about God, telling his story, but it's a continual thing. Your praise is everlasting. It will continue. I will praise Yahweh at all times. Now that's a bit of a challenge because sometimes in life, things aren't going to go good. Sometimes in life, it's going to be tough. Sometimes in life, you're going to hurt. If you haven't been through that yet, you youngsters, and I say that with an appropriate amount of contempt. you youngsters, if you haven't been through the pain part yet, live a little bit more. Keep living. The trouble's coming. And when you go through the difficult times, you are still instructed in the Bible, praise God anyway. Hallelujah anyhow. You praise God despite your circumstances. And that, to me, is the best definition of faith that I have ever come across, which is standing on the Word of God and reckoning it as more true than your circumstances. Because your circumstances in life will sometimes lead you to ask questions like, where's God? I thought you liked me. Why am I going through all of this? David had it tough. David won and lost for a while the throne. He was on the run. He was having to pretend he was a madman. And meanwhile, his son was sleeping with his wives on the roof of the king's house. He had a tough time. It was a rough time. And yet he would say, my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all the day long. That's Psalm 35, 28. As I said, it's a continual thing. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It is a constant thing that you praise God regardless of your circumstances. Why? Because God and his character and his nature and his complete sovereignty are not dependent on your circumstances. Your circumstances are happening to you, and God is still on the throne doing whatever seems good to him. And he deserves your worship and your praise continually, regardless of what he is taking you through.
Amen.
And by the way, as you're going through those things, remember that nothing can reach you until it has first passed through nail-scarred hands. So therefore, the Bible can say that there is no temptation, no trial taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation provide a way of escape so that you may bear it. So as you're going through the trouble, remember, God's here. He's in the midst of it, and he deserves glorification and praise continually, regardless. But then, this kind of praise, as I said before, is inspired by the fact that God has given us his Holy Spirit. Praise to God is a God gift to you. He has given you the ability to do it. And David says so again in Psalm 51:15 when he says, O Lord, open my lips so that my mouth may declare your praise. Because everything that has to do with the praise and glorification of God begins with God. He is the first cause in all things. And as he is in the enterprise of glorifying himself, he has chosen a people who are going to glorify him eternally. And then he has given them knowledge of himself and given them his spirit so that their mouths will open in praise to him. That's his great divine plan. So when you praise him, when you are doing what we saw last week, when you are giving that sacrifice of worship and praise to him, that's why Paul can also say, but that's just your reasonable service, that you would lay down your body as a living sacrifice to God. Of course you would do that. That is your reasonable spiritual service because God himself is working through you to bring to himself the praise that he requires. So when you praise him, when you glorify and worship him, recognize that were it not for him, you wouldn't know him.
That's right.
He has introduced himself to you. And what a remarkable privilege that he would use you to glorify him. Psalm 66:2, sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. He is glorious. React accordingly. Praise him gloriously. Psalm 66:8, bless the Lord, O peoples, all nations, and sound his praise abroad. It's something that we actually announce. It's something that we encourage others to join in with. Again, it's a continual and vocal, out loud thing, praising God. Psalm 67:3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. It's not just a Jewish thing. It's not just a Gentile thing. It's not just an American thing. It certainly ought to be an American thing. It's all the people of the earth. Every race, creed, every tribe, tongue, every nation on earth, God is choosing his people, drawing them to himself, and causing them to bring praise to him. Which means even though not everybody on the planet is praising him, the planet itself is praising him. His creation is praising him. His angels are praising him. The host of heaven are praising him. We're just part of the larger enterprise of God making sure that whatever he does in all circumstances, in all time, there's always somebody praising him. And I say again, what a privilege. Can you think of anybody who doesn't know anything about God? You have a friend, a co-worker, somebody who doesn't know anything about God? How come you know and they don't? Paul says, who has made thee to differ? Why are you different than they are? It's not because you were smarter, quicker, faster, jump higher, run faster. It's because God himself has done something for you that he simply has not done for everybody. Praise him. Thank him. Glorify him and speak well of him, because he has given you an astounding privilege in calling you to himself. Let the peoples praise you, O Lord. Let all the peoples praise you. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Notice again how often David combines these two ideas, that we praise Yahweh, the name of God, and we sing songs to him as part of our praise, and we lift him up, we magnify him. Have you ever looked through a magnifying glass? What does it do? It makes stuff larger. What are we doing when we magnify God? We're extolling the largeness, the greatness, the grandeur of our God. And we magnify him with thanksgiving in recognition that he has given us everything, including our ability to praise him. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of the Lord with song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:34, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. He expects fish to praise him. David also writes that the trees themselves clap their hands in praise to God. The whole of creation is made by God the way God wanted it, to his own glory, and the creation itself is praising and worshiping him. The very fact that he can sit on his throne and look out at a universe that we don't begin to comprehend, and then call every star by name, all the billions of them, and he knows every one of them because he made them and he named them, and he is in control of them. They magnify him. They praise him. So don't think that God is waiting around, rubbing his great eternal hands with worry for fear that maybe someone won't praise him, or that the world governments don't praise him, or that the world system doesn't praise him. He's getting his praise one way or the other. He's getting his praise from his creation. He's getting his praise from his people. He will lift up all those in heaven to praise him. The angelic horde right now is in heaven, and you know what they're doing? They're praising him. That's the description we see of God, that he has angels flying around his head crying out about his holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What are they doing? They're praising him. They're talking good stuff about him. They're blessing the name of God. And that's what we, as his saints, are also called to be involved in. Lift him up. Speak about his magnificence. Psalm 69:34 says, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. Psalm 104:33, I will sing to the Lord Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. While you are alive in this flesh and breathing, that's a gift from God. Say thank you. Praise his name. And you'll notice once again that it's a continual thing. All my life, continually, I will praise him. Psalm 113:1. Am I boring you yet?
No, sir.
Okay. Psalm 113:1. Praise Yahweh. Praise, O servants of Yahweh. Notice the holy ones are also the servants. and because we are servants who are serving the righteous, holy, eternal splendor of the sovereign God, since we are the ones who are called to do that, we are the servants of Yahweh, and we are commanded, our directive is, praise Yahweh, praise you servants of Yahweh, praise the name of Yahweh. You will notice that's a directive. It doesn't say, you know, if it feels good to you, if it does anything for you, makes you feel good about yourself, if it does that for you, then maybe you can offer a little bit of praise. It doesn't say that. It is a directive to the saints of God, the holy of God, the called of God, who are the servants of the high and mighty Yahweh. Praise the name. Psalm 148:1. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Last week, we saw the name Yahweh Sabaoth. And I said to you, that word Sabaoth means the hosts, all the armies, all the residents of heaven, all the residents of earth, all the angelic residents, everything that is in God's creation, he is in control of it. He is the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the whole of his creation and all the hosts of his heaven are all going to praise him. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Do you ever think about the fact you go outside, you look up, you see the moon up there? Do you ever think that its existence praises God? The rain comes from the clouds. We don't do that. Science didn't figure that one out. That wasn't something we as humans created. That there are rivers and lakes, and then when it gets hot, there's humidity and there's condensation, and then water goes up and it forms clouds, and then the clouds give us rain. That was all God who did all that. It's been working from the beginning, and it continues to work, and not a person on earth keeps that going. He keeps it going. It exists to the praise of God. That's my point. The entirety of his creation and the way it operates is for his praise. And the highest heavens praise him, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them all collectively, the entirety of his creation, let them praise the name of Yahweh. For he commanded and they were created. So what's the inspiration? What's the reason for them all to praise God? Because he made them. He's the one that created them. And therefore, they worship their creator. Last week, I said that God, the one who said, I am that I am. That's the only explanation of himself that God offers us. I exist because I exist. Go tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. I said that that God is the only one whose purpose for existing resides completely within himself. I am because I am. Everything else exists because he exists. If he didn't exist, nothing else exists. But because he's also on his throne, a sovereign God who can do whatever he pleases whenever he wants, and he's sitting on his throne doing all his good pleasure continually. In other words, the sovereign God of heaven only does what he wants to do. And he doesn't do what he doesn't want to do. That God made everything for the purpose of his own glorification. And that includes you. If you recognize within yourself that God in heaven is the reason you exist right now, then what is the purpose for your existence? Is it to get more money? Is it to get rich so you can look down on everybody else? What's your purpose for existing?
Praise him.
To praise him And why is it she was the only one who knew that? Absolutely, to praise him. That's why we exist, because no matter what else you do on this planet, no matter how much money you get, how many cars, how many mansions, how many clothes, no matter what you accumulate in this lifetime, you're going to die. And you're going to leave it all behind. And ultimately, it's all going to burn. So that can't be why you're here. That can't be what you're concentrating on in this lifetime. Instead, your purpose for existence is the glorification of God. And as you are glorifying God, he then gives you all this other stuff. How kind of him. How good and loving and gracious of him that he would give us things like wall-to-wall carpeting. Who needed that? But we have it. Nobody needs video games. We have them. We lived for a long time without them. But now they exist. Nobody needs hair products. Nobody. But we have them.
You need to have hair.
Nobody. Exactly. Nobody, Jewel, needs giant chocolate chip cookies. But we have them. Why? Because God, in his kindness, in his grace, gives us food to get us through each day. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. He's the God who gives you the strength to get through your day. He's the God who gives you the next cogent thought that you have. He's the God that allows you to know your own name. And you exist so that you reflect him back to himself. So that you can praise and worship him because of who he is. And he uses you to tell his story. I saw a meme this week that I liked a lot that said, if God wasn't willing to use sinners to do his work, he'd have nobody to do it. Yeah, what a remarkable privilege that the high and holy righteous God would use somebody like you to do his work and to bring him back his glory. Isaiah 43:21 says, "The people whom I have formed for myself will declare my praise." In that verse, he just summed up everything I've been trying to say for the last 20 minutes, that the reason that we exist is because God himself formed us for himself. He didn't make you so that you could be an autonomous agent. He didn't make you so that you can go through this lifetime glorifying yourself. Sure, there are plenty of people on the planet who think that's their reason for living. But if you know anything about God, if God is drawing you to himself, then you recognize that your reason for existence is fully him. By the way, even the people who don't praise him in this lifetime, even the people who don't know him, even the people who are not glorifying and praising him, also exist for his glory so that he can demonstrate his absolute righteousness and holiness in the judgment of those people. His whole creation ultimately glorifies him, despite how sobering that reality is. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. The ones that he makes for himself are the ones that are called to worship and praise him. Okay, that was all Old Testament. New Testament now. Jesus himself praised God the Father. In Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus said, "I praise you." Exomologeo, I think, is the word there. I say good things about you. Notice the word legeo there. I'm speaking words. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things, these very important eternal things. You've hidden them from the wise and the intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants, to babes, to people who don't know any better. You know, people like us. that God would reveal himself to us while he's not revealing himself to other people, Jesus said, I praise you for that. Because that's part of God's great eternal plan. In other words, we praise God for doing exactly what God is doing. He deserves praise continually because he's continually being God. And while he's continually sustaining his creation is formed for the purpose of continually praising him. Am I alone up here?
Nope.
Am I talking to myself?
No.
Well, if I am, I like what I'm saying. Okay. Romans 14:11. It is written, says Paul, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. Again, the same word that Jesus used. Jesus praised God, exomologeo. And Paul picked up that same word, quoting from the Old Testament, said, every tongue shall give praise to God. And that's why a moment ago I said, even those who don't praise him in this lifetime will one day bend the knee. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And even in their judgment, they ultimately are a glorification of God, demonstrating who he is in his power and in his judgment, in his righteousness, in his holiness, and in his astounding grace to us. Everything praises him. In Ephesians 1:3, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, by predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the Beloved One, who is Christ. I don't have time to go through and exegete that whole thing, but you will notice that it is God in his absolute sovereignty declaring to us that he has chosen us since before the foundation of the world, and the purpose for that choosing is that we will end up holy and blameless before him because of his everlasting love. That's going to occur because he already predestined us to the adoption of sons, not because of us, but through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will. He did it all because he wanted to do it that way, to the praise of the glory of his own grace. Do you get that? That means that God did all this to glorify himself so that he would get all the praise. Have I emphasized this enough yet this morning? By the way, there's going to be another week. There's no way I'm making it this morning. But have I emphasized yet enough that God is in the enterprise of glorifying himself? And that's why he made us. That's why he called us. That's why he inhabited us. Because as the Bible says, God inhabits the praises of his people. We sing to him because God has inspired us to sing to him. We praise him, we speak well of him, we talk good about him, we tell his story, we talk about his character, we talk about what he's done for us with tremendous thanksgiving because he, working through us, has accomplished the praise of the glory of his own grace. Wow. And that he would include Shane in that. I didn't mean to just pick Shane, and yet I did. That he would include us in that? Remarkable. I'm nearly done. Ephesians 1:12. Here's the purpose statement. This is why he's doing all these glorious things that we read in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, where he is accomplishing it all for the glory of his own grace. What's the end of all that? Ephesians 1:12, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. Been emphasizing all morning. He's in the enterprise of glorifying himself. And we exist. The end of us, our purpose for existing, is the hope in Christ that we exude because of the Spirit of God that is in us. And that hope in Christ and that confidence to the end all exists because God is glorifying himself. It is all to the praise of his glory. Have you had that moment yet? I'm talking about the big God. I'm talking about the real God, the self-existent God, the creator God, the sovereign God, the maker of heaven and earth God. I'm talking about that God who does all the time whatever he wants to do, and he was pleased to come get you. Wow. And he's passing over other people who are going to glorify him in his judgment of them. And yet he chose you to be part of his everlasting glory and splendor, to live in his new Jerusalem, to celebrate his Christ as your king. He did that for you. How do you not praise his holy name? How do you not cry out to that God? How do you not get on your face in front of that God? And then after you worship on your face, you can lift your head and smile and say, I love you, God.
Amen.
I'm so grateful. How did you come to this? I'm really glad you did. Praise his wonderful name. Ephesians 1:14, the Holy Spirit, who was given to us as a pledge of our inheritance. He exists in us with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. He's going to utterly redeem and save and glorify his people to the praise of his own glory. God is working in you. God is working through you for the purpose of glorifying himself. Praising God is an act of worship and an act of sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, through Christ, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips with which we give thanks to his name. Praise is an out loud thing. It is a continual thing. It is appropriate for the saints of God. It is a requirement of those who God is calling to himself. His entire creation, everything he has ever done and everything he's going to do, he has done to the glory of his own grace and to the praise of himself. And so we exist to worship him, get down on our face, and to praise him, to stand up and talk about the wonderful things he has done. And then beyond that, he says to us, now come ask. And that's what we'll talk about next week.
Struck by that, the line in the end of the first section there, all hail him as thy matchless king throughout all eternity. What I feel is the intention and purpose of eternity is not so that we get to exist forever and ever. It's because that is the appropriate, necessary amount of time that God has deemed to properly capture and display his holiness, his righteousness, his praise. It can't be limited to 100 years or 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years or 1,000,000 times 1,000,000. It has to be eternity, and that's the only purpose we have eternity, so that we can expound upon his glory and his grace forevermore, because even when we get to eons and eons into the future, into eternity, we still won't have reached it, because that's the depth of what it is. So it's a wonderful God we serve, that is for sure. But yet, even though we can't encapsulate it, we're called to profess it, to not forget any of his benefits, and to bring those forth and to share those as we did today. So praise God. Absolutely, amen. If you'll stand, we'll dismiss with prayer. Father God, we humbly thank you for being the God that you are, and we struggle in trying to understand the depths of your righteousness, the depths of your holiness, and yet we're called to remember all of your benefits. We're called to publish and profess your great works, your acts of love and kindness that you display to us. We thank you that you have redeemed us from the pit, and then you have taken us from that pit and crowned us with loving kindness and given us compassion, given us so many material things in this life that make it more comfortable, and we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for healing us when we're sick and giving us money that we need through jobs that we work so that we can have a warm place to stay and a cool place to stay in the summer with the AC that you give to us, Lord. We thank you that you've given us this building to be able to be here. We thank you that you've given us all of these saints that gather here and those that get to listen online, that we get to fellowship with. We just thank you so much for all that you have given us, Lord. We thank you so much for the blood of Christ Jesus, who came to earth and was ridiculed by his own and rejected, but yet he endured that shame and mockery for the purpose set before him, for the joy that was set before him. He had endured all of that, and then we will get to experience the great joy and glory and peace with him throughout eternity that we're promised to inherit, that to be joint heirs with Christ, and what all that may mean, that we have eternity to look forward to be united with him forever. We can't begin to imagine what's in store for us in that regard. So thank you once again. Help us to, as we go forth in this new week, to find ways that we can expound these truths to others so that they can look upon us and they can see that we are instruments of your glory, your praise, and your honor, and that we will never cease or shy to profess and to publish that. So thank you once again, and give us the boldness to do that, and be with us throughout this week. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
We appreciate you listening to this week's Salvation by Grace Sunday morning message. We encourage you to visit our website at salvationbygrace.org for books, Q&As, and our ever-expanding archive of audio sermons. And we invite you to join us next time when we gather around the Word and study the sovereign grace of God.